This is the Rich Eisen Show.
They're coming for your souls. I keep saying it over and over and over again.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
They're not only coming for your souls, they are coming to mess you up. Not just beat you, but dispatch you. That's
the Rich Eisen Show. Earlier on the show, ESPN college basketball analyst Jay Billis. Coming up, Bills running back James Cook. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Yes, indeed. And Robert Griffin III is about to call into this program. We had a great chat with Jay Billis in hour number one about the NBA draft that's coming up tomorrow night and how Victor Wembanyama, who was just introduced at a press conference in New York City, to all those that are gathering for the draft, how he said that if he had a choice between a 19-year-old Victor Wembanyama right now and an 18-year-old LeBron from back in the day out of Akron, Ohio, he would choose the 19-year-old Wembanyama over the 18-year-old LeBron.
Jay was full of hot takes today.
Oh, but which he also said that 80s music was garbage.
Pretty much.
Leading to our poll question that says what, Chris?
Yeah, better decade for music, 70s, 80s, or 90s.
What do we got right now?
39% say the 80s, Mike.
And?
32% 90s, 29% 70s.
What is the matter with people? We all know the 70s is the winner.
No.
Oh, my gosh.
No. Really? I'm
80s,
very biased.
I think, is pretty
to the
good.
The 70s. But the 80s is the... It's just MTV.
Michael Jackson. Whitney Houston. Madonna.
Keep going. You too. Everybody, people either love or hate. It's just like, but there's, come on. All the
I agree. Jay Billis was underrating it. Like, he was too focused on the Thompson Twins and Aha dragging everybody down.
He's early 80s.
There were some one-hit wonders, a lot of one-hit wonders in the 80s, but come on, a lot of heavy hitters.
There's one-hit wonders in the 70s. My go-to karaoke song of, you know, Brandy. Come on, Looking Glass. Name me another Looking Glass song.
Can't.
So, I mean, come on now.
You could look through the glass. You won't find one.
Joining us right here on the Rich Eisen Show, kicking off hour number two, truly an anytime guest. Anytime he's free and up for talking, we're up for talking to him. The great Robert Griffin III from the worldwide leader in sports back here on the show. How are you, RG3?
I'm doing good, Rich, and I appreciate the intro and you having me on, man. You've been huge for my career. So
please.
Thank you for that, man.
You're the best, truly. Love watching you, love listening to you, love your social media feeds and everything like that. So let me just jump in going off the board with you. The shot of Victor Wembanyama holding the baseball like a grape. I have to ask a world-class athlete and top draft choice in his sport. What did you think of that when you saw that photograph of him?
No, RG3. I mean, Wembanyama is just incredible. I mean, you look at that baseball, like you said, it looks like a grape.
Yeah.
Could you imagine how hard he could throw that bad boy if he had some baseball training? you know, I don't know if there's a sport that the guy can't do at that size and with the wingspan that he has, but I do like the fact that he picked himself over LeBron because you got to have that self-confidence when you have that much momentum coming with you into the NBA. So I think he's already reached enlightenment. He's good.
Well, what advice would you give him? Because he says he wants to be best to the media. He wants to be best off the field. I mean, you know, with all due respect to the French sports scene, he's about to feel it. He's about to get it. What advice would you have for him about the stage he's about to walk on, Robert?
Yeah, my advice to him would just be to continue to stay focused on who he is. And I feel like listening to his interviews, he knows who he is. He knows why he's driven the way that he's driven. He understands what's in front of him, and he's willing to go out and do what it takes to be the most successful basketball player and person that he can be. So I would say when the times get tough and the media gets tough on him, because you know that they will, just key in on those things, and it'll allow him to continue to be successful.
Robert Griffin III here on the Rich Eisen Show. Let's jump into the world of football. What happened with Stephon Diggs last week, and how do you think that might have a ripple effect once the toe meets ball in an actual playing season, Robert?
Ooh, well, I mean, when you talk about when toe meets ball, I think the Bills need a happy Stephon Diggs to win the Super Bowl. And if you notice, I didn't say motivated, because I think he's always motivated. I think he's always working his tail off to be the best. But when you have a happy Stephon Diggs, I mean, since he got to Buffalo, he's tied for first in catches with Devontae Adams. He's sixth in the receiving touchdowns, and he's fourth in the league in receiving yards. So that's a happy Stephon Diggs. Him and Josh Allen seemed to have a bromance rolling, it felt like, for years there, until there was the problem with their game against the Bengals in the playoffs. So I think it's clear this is a personal thing between Josh and Diggs. And they have to get their partnership back on the field. And that's part of playing quarterback. I think Josh Allen's running into that right now. Everything is fine until it's not fine in a relationship when it comes to a quarterback and a wide receiver like Diggs. So Josh has to manage that relationship the right way, and I think he's the only one that can rectify it.
So what is it, though? I mean, what did you see in that game? What are you hearing? What are you potentially willing to share? What is it, do you think?
Yeah, Rich, that's why you're a great interviewer, man. You know when people have information and they're trying not to say anything. So I've talked with people close to the situation, and really what it boils down to is in that last game against the Bengals, Diggs was the most targeted receiver in that game. I think he had 10 targets in that game. But when they were down 17, they had a 10-play drive that ended in a turnover on downs, and Diggs only got one ball thrown his way. So you would think that a player of Diggs' caliber with the relationship that he has with Josh Allen, in those moments, he would look to him more often, and that didn't happen. I think that was something that why we saw Diggs hold his hands up, looking at Josh Allen on the sideline when they had the little tiff that was shown on TV. And Diggs wants to win like every other player wants to win. And I think that if they can rekindle that bromance, Josh Allen's got to do something to relight that fire between the two of them. And I think that will be the key for the Bills to be successful this year, especially since they have Super Bowl aspirations.
Well, let's chop this up a little bit, Robert Griffin III, because, you know, the issue, I think, for that Bills offense, and I think – most ever, I'm not reinventing the wheel here, was Josh Allen trying to do too much, feeling that he had to do too much, the red zone being a particularly difficult spot for that team because of it. And to me, I think they've fixed it in a way, or at least they've hit it enough by getting Damian Harris at the running back position, by bringing in Latavius Murray at the running back position, by also getting Dalton Kincaid in the draft. The question is, though, if those are the answers, how will that rest with Diggs if he's not the one getting the football in those situations, Robert? That's the rub here,
yeah,
potentially.
Rich, I don't disagree as far as with Josh Allen constantly having to put the cape on. You know, I talked about this a lot last year. You know, they're constantly asking him to be Superman, and he can do it. And quite honestly, as the year went on, I realized that Josh Allen actually plays his best when he's trying to be Superman every single play. That's when he's the most comfortable. That's when you see all the creative runs and the big-time passes from him. But I think the Bills took a concerted effort this offseason to say, we got to be able to play bruising football up front if we need to. And then the draft pick of Dalton Kincaid gives them position variability on offense. So they don't always have to line up with three wide or four wide. They can go two wide and two tight ends, or they can put them in the backfield and run some sets like that. I think they are taking a conscious effort to say, all right, if it becomes a bad weather game again and we can't throw the football around, we got to be able to run the ball. We got to be able to utilize our tight ends down the seams. And I think that's what they did. But the bottom line, Rich, is without Stephon Diggs, their receiver room goes from, you know, arguably one of the top five, top 10 receiver rooms in the league to not even in the top 15. So they need Stephon Diggs to be that guy for them, and he'll always get his targets because his desire to win and his ability is aligned with their ability to be explosive on offense. So I think that aligns perfectly. So he'll get his targets regardless. It's just about fixing this little personal situation that's going on between him and Josh Allen.
And then and one last one for you on that. Can't the answer be, hey, Stephon, you know, stuff happens. We had the drive that we had, and just, you know, I'll look for you more. I promise I'll look for you more. You know me. I know you. We're tight like that. Can that actually fix it? Or it only fixes it to the point where the first Monday night when you and the rest of the worldwide leader will have the huge game of Allen and the Bills at Aaron Rodgers and the Jets in his Rodgers debut with the Jets, that this could just come home to roost in drive six that night and bring it all up again, Robert?
Yeah, I think the sooner they can get back on the field and play in football games that actually count, like you're saying on that Monday night, I think the better it is for everybody. Here's the bottom line. Stephon Diggs does get targeted by Josh Allen a lot, mm-hmm. a lot more than anybody else on the football field. I think this really just came to a head in that playoff game because in that moment, if it was handled differently, when Diggs had his his emotional outburst on the sideline. If that was handled differently by Josh Allen and the team, I think we wouldn't be talking about this today. But it wasn't. You know, they kind of ignored him, and there was a whole scene after that game. Mm-hmm. I think that has led to some of these rumblings throughout the offseason. But when they get up there and they go up against the Jets, he's going to target Stephon Diggs because that's what they need to do to win games. And if he doesn't target him, we'll continue to talk about this for the duration of the season.
Robert Griffin III from the Worldwide Leader in Sports here on the Rich Eisen Show. I'd like you to interpret a tweet for me, if you don't mind. DeAndre Hopkins, sort of out of the blue yesterday, tweeted out, whoever's in my future wide receiver group, I promise I will make your job easy. Why do you think he felt compelled or necessary or just had it on his mind to tweet that, Robert?
Rich, I think DeAndre or D-Hop, you know, put that out there because there are certain receivers or certain position groups that always feel a certain type of way when the team or the fans or the media starts perpetuating stories or pushing stories about them joining the team. Why? The natural inclination is to think D-Hop joins the team and now my targets are gone away. Mm. Or if I'm the third receiver, I'm now the fourth receiver. Well, that's the reality of it. So I think what D-Hop is trying to do is get the receiver rooms of the teams that are looking at him or that he's looking to go to understand, I'm coming here, and yes, I might take away some of your targets, but I'm going to increase the quality of the targets you do get because you're not going to have all the attention of the defense. That's where I think it is, and I think it's actually a beautifully worded tweet as well. Kudos to him.
So there's been, I guess, how do I follow up here? So he might have identified a place where he'd like to go, and he's heard through grapevines that players, you know, would not like his presence there because it does eat into their reps or it eats into their, you know, targets, or general managers might be concerned about that and he's sending that out there on Twitter. Is that what you're saying? Do you think?
I don't think it's general managers. You know, I don't think most players, you know, trying to talk to GMs or head coaches through Twitter probably isn't the best avenue to make that happen.
Yes.
I do think it has to do with players. And I'm obviously, we're just speculating here, but I did see Devontae Parker's, you know, press conference when they asked him about D-Hop. And, you know, I'm not saying that Devontae was upset or anything like that, but it was more of like the Patriot way, you know, we're good here. Next question. I think D-Hop maybe feels some of that. And like I said, that's pure speculation. But at the end of the day, he's just trying to let the groups know, like, yeah, I'm coming in, and I'll probably be the number one, but I'm going to also make your job easier with targets. I'm here to be a mentor to you guys so you can learn. You know, he's 30-plus years old. He understands where he's at in his career, but he's still a number one wide receiver. And I think there's two teams that really need him. It's New England and Tennessee.
Tennessee. Okay. And those are the places that's obviously where he visited. What about a team that's loaded already, bringing him in and just adding him on top? What about Kansas City? What about anybody like that? Do you think D-Hop can wind up there? Dallas, maybe another one. What do you think about those possibilities, Robert?
Well, I'll do that in reverse, Rich. Dallas is an issue just because of the amount of bodies that they have there with CeeDee Lamb, Brandon Cooks. You got Gallup there. They would have to do something with that room to make it viable to bring in a D-Hop, especially with McCarthy wanting to move more towards a run-centric offense. Bringing in another wide receiver now being four deep with really talented wide receivers, I mean, that'd be one of the better rooms in all of the NFL. I think that makes it a little tough for them. When you talk about Kansas City, I always thought that D-Hop to Kansas City was a great fit. You know, Kansas City obviously lost Juju Smith-Schuster to the Patriots. I just feel like he could fit a void there, give him another number one, another chain mover to go along with Travis Kelce, and then they've got the speed on the outside with MVS and the guys. So I like the Chiefs. I'm not so big on him going to the Cowboys. The reason I say Tennessee is because they need, you know, the bodies. They got Traylon Burks. You're talking about Kyle Phillips as their slot receiver, and then Westbrook Akina, at wide receiver as their number two. You know, bringing in D-Hop there would definitely fit the mold. The question is, are they ready to win now? If you ask, you know, Coach Vrabel, yes. But to the rest of the league, is that a spot that D-Hop is going to be able to go win a championship in? And there might be some split views on that.
So you think Dalvin Cook to Miami just looks so simple that it's going to happen? Or they have a pretty loaded room themselves right there, Robert?
Yeah,
what do you think there?
Yeah, they do have a loaded room. And Coach Mike McDaniel was very smart past couple of days to kind of talk up that room so they don't, feel not necessarily the pressure, but feel like they're not liked because of the connection of Dalvin to Miami. Now, Dalvin in Miami makes sense. It's his hometown team. He's a dynamic back, coming off of 4 consecutive 1,000-yard season, still has a lot in the tank. But I know these two guys want to team up. At least that's what Dalvin stated, I think yesterday or two couple days ago on Adam Schefter's podcast.
Yeah.
And the problem with that is, NFL players just don't have the leverage or the power like NBA players do to say, hey, we want to team up, and then they make it happen. So the reality is both these guys want big paydays, as they should. Both guys want to be on a contender because, they know where they're at in their careers. But not many true contenders this year can afford both of them, to bring them both in. And that's why I point to New England, because I think New England can actually bring them both in, and it would increase their chances of being a Super Bowl contender overnight.
Sure would. Robert Griffin III, before I let you go, sir, I see on your social feeds as well the football camp at your alma mater at Baylor that you recently did, and the messages you're giving to these kids as well. What'd you take out of it, Robert?
No, Rich, honestly, it's just been a blessing to be able to give back to the community and see the next generation of stars come out there and play. This past weekend, we were able to get 330 campers out there.
Jeez.
Hats off to the current coaches and the players for coming out there and helping. Dave Aranda has been amazing in just the way that he's, reconstructed the program and been allowing me to be a part of it. But, we're out there trying to teach these young guys how to grow and develop at every position, quarterback, running back, wide receiver, DB, tight end, O-line, D-line. Only thing we didn't have there, Rich, was kickers and punters. And kickers and punters are people, too. Don't get me wrong.
They are.
They're people, too. But we didn't have them at the camp. Maybe we'll have them there next year. But honestly, being able to get to know guys like Clemson's quarterback, Cade Klubnik, he came to the camp in 2019. Mm-hmm. We had a quarterback that just committed to Memphis this last week, and then a quarterback that committed to Purdue last year. So the talent that's running through the camp is amazing. Being able to be close up to these guys and see them work and help them get better at their craft has been amazing as well. And we're doing it for so many positions on the football field. I'm truly blessed that Baylor's partnered with me to make that happen year after year.
Okay. Before I let you go into your summer, Robert Griffin III, and then look for more of my calls and texts getting ready for the football season, I'm going to throw a total macro question at you, okay?
Okay.
College or professional football team with a chance to win it all that we're not talking about right now? College or professional? Who are we not talking about that you think we should be talking about, Robert Griffin III? Give me that one.
Yeah, college-wise, I would say Clemson.
Okay.
Bringing in Garrett Riley, offensive coordinator from TCU. Now, mm-hmm. I know they didn't have the greatest showing in the national championship game, but going to Clemson, getting the premier talent there, having Cade Klubnik as the quarterback, I think they've got an actual shot running through the ACC to be a national title contender.
Okay.
NFL-wise, I think we've hit just about every single team that has a shot to pull it off. I do think Miami is a strong contender again this year. As long as Tua can stay healthy, I think that they have the pieces in place on offense and defense to really make a title run.
Robert Griffin III, thank you, as always, for coming on. I do love listening to you. You make me smarter as well. Thanks for the time, as always.
Appreciate you, Rich, as always.
Take
God
care.
Bless, brother.
You bet. Right back at you at RGIII. Robert Griffin III, right here on The Rich Eisen Show, both Twitter and Instagram. What'd you think of that? Again,
Clemson. Interesting.
No, let's take a break. I want to dive in a little bit more in what he just revealed, best we can, about Diggs and Buffalo. Diggs and Allen. Boy, oh boy. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Top five difference makers that we're overlooking in the NFL this year. That's coming up next. This is The Rich Eisen Show.
For
For decades, Rolling Stone has set the bar for entertainment publications. Today, Rolling Stone Music Now takes over in podcast form. Songwriter and producer Jamie Hartman reacts to the Ed Sheeran verdict.
You need to create something new, and of course you're going to use traditional paths to get there. Are you going to sue the Rolling Stones for making a samba out of Sympathy for the Devil? You're going to sue Elvis Presley for writing Bossa Nova? It's like saying you're not allowed to use a pencil to create a piece of art.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen. Get an inside look at Hollywood with Michael Rosenbaum. Actress Kristen Ritter.
Your parents let you travel by yourself.
It was a different time.
They just put you on a train. As a 15-year-old girl, you went to New York.
I went on a bus, and I did get picked up at Port Authority. They thought I was a runaway.
What would they do?
They'd detain you and like get people on the phone, and then they finally let you go to your modeling job.
But how many times did it happen?
Once or twice.
It just seems like it wouldn't happen.
It happens, yeah.
Inside of You with Michael Rosenbaum, wherever you listen.
Stefan Diggs here on the Rich Eisen Show. Josh told me when I interviewed him for the pregame show prior to the AFC Championship game that you and he are brothers, but very competitive, like that you actually compete walking down the hallway to see who can walk the fastest. Is that true? Is that really a true story?
That story is true. Actually, he caught me one time walking from the weight room, and I was like this, like, why is he walking so fast? So I sped up a little bit, and then he continued to speed up, and then he just took off. So I was like this. Obviously, there's a competition between quarterback and receiver, and it'll never stop. So
really?
This is something I'm never going to give up. We compete on video games, who has the most kills, and who carries who. It's just I think it makes for a great relationship, though.
No, I hear you, and I ask this question with the utmost of respect, Stefan, so please understand that. Okay. Talking about walking down the hallway fastest and playing video games, what are you guys, five? Are you guys 5 years old?
Gotta be 5 years old, and we're writing on the walls, getting in trouble by, we'll be joking around in the walkthrough, and then you'll have Coach Daboll come in, and he's super serious, but at the same time, he jokes sometimes, and he'll crack a joke and be like, all right, knucklehead, get your butts back to work. And it's makes for a great environment, great work environment.
How are you a different guy now through this season than you were when you were acquired?
It's different. I feel like I'm the same guy. I just feel like my surroundings are a little different. You know, I was dealing with a younger quarterback. You know, a lot of the guys that were pretty much are established or were in the league for a very long time. I was dealing with a young, charismatic, big heart guy that want to jump over the linebackers and run people over and step on people. I was dealing with a quarterback that's young, and I came at a great time to grow with. So it's just, you know, all situations are different, but this one was one that it coincided and it worked well.
Yeah, just open my mic whenever you stop talking.
Sorry,
all right?
Rich.
It's all good. It's all good. It's all good, Mike. It's all good. Back on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger. With supplies and solutions for every industry, Grainger is the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Look, Mike Del Tufo, I understand when you're having conversations off camera, you can't be bothered with, you know, your job.
I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. It's okay. But look, we're Emmy nominated 2 years in a row for Best Studio Show daily, three times overall, and you're a large part of it. Everybody is here. And I just want to also give a particular shout out to our coordinating producer, Mike Hoskins, because the job that he has been doing lately, you can't tell the difference between his great, great work.
We need a camera.
When he's, look, he doesn't really need the kudos, but I'm giving it to him anyway, because he has been conducting himself expertly, despite, no doubt, freaking out every single time we bring up Stephon Diggs and the Buffalo Bills and his beloved Buffalo Bills, because he knows.
He knows.
As does all of Bills Mafia.
The hell going on?
That what Robert Griffin III just said, they need a happy Stephon Diggs to win the Super Bowl. And as Robert said as well, not a motivated one, because we know he's always motivated. One of the many reasons why I love chatting with Stephon Diggs when he's called into the show or stopped by our Super Bowl set in Arizona. Love him. Love his passion. Love his game. Right? Told Minnesota, hey, you don't want to pay me? Send me somewhere else. And then went to Buffalo and got better. Now it helps to have had Josh Allen there. But also to hear from Robert Griffin III that the issue, in his estimation, his kicking over rocks and chatting to people is it's a he said it a personal thing between Diggs and Allen, based if he could somehow identify it and CSI it or NCIS it, put it under the microscope, check on the DNA of what this set to can possibly be, born out of a 10-play series in the 17-point loss to Cincinnati in last year's playoffs in the snow in Western New York, that Diggs was only targeted, what he said, one time in that drive, and that it wound up being a turnover on downs, and the conversation on the sideline wasn't properly put to bed, to the point, now this is where I'm taking over from paraphrasing what Robert said, to the point where it was still simmering in the middle of June.
That seems a really wild.
Well, but something was still simmering till the middle of June, Chris.
No, I mean the fact that it digs is like taking this so personal that he's let it carry over 6 months later.
He's not taking it personally. He might be taking it professionally that he's not involved enough, or he's not
involved enough,
or he's not involved enough
in every single play,
or involved enough in the coordinating of it, or that Allen lost track of him. Again, it's so wild.
I gotta go back and watch
the whole thing. That's so wild about it is it wasn't put to bed into June. And I kind of facetiously said yesterday, maybe his reception wasn't working in his house and you have to FaceTime to get him, you know? I mean, because it strains credulity in the same way it did that the Packers and Rodgers didn't communicate significantly enough in Rodgers' mind that things had to fall apart post-darkness therapy, that this hasn't been put to bed between January and June or sufficiently enough, which leads me to believe it hasn't been put to bed sufficiently enough going into the season, to the point where if it happens in another game again, it can significantly fall apart? Really? Because it seems to me most every receiver would want to play with Josh Allen, right? Wouldn't you think? Something doesn't square. This circle doesn't square here, right? You know what I mean? Something's wildly...
This could go deeper than what's going on the field, though, too. Philosophical differences.
I forgot that this game was played in the snow. I don't know how, but watching some of the... I'm watching the game highlights here.
Well, it was played in 80-degree sunshine when Burrow was throwing it. It felt like they just did whatever the hell they wanted.
Well, that's because the Bills got... no pressure on Joe Burrow, and he was getting the ball out fast.
Breer touched on it yesterday, guys. That was a team that was out of gas.
Buffalo.
Spent.
For sure.
Because
emotionally and physically.
Don't you remember they had a play in Detroit the Sunday before they had a play in Detroit for Thanksgiving?
Yes.
Because of the snow?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Did I get that timing right? I think they did, right? You know, they played Cleveland and Detroit the week before Thanksgiving.
Bills had a lot going on last
year.
Right,
and then DeMar Hamlin drops dead. Let's be honest.
Your brother died in front of you, man. Like, the man died in front of you. How do you come? You can't come back from that.
They just looked like a spent team.
Yeah. And, you know, like we touched on, the incident at the shopping,
Yes, the shooting.
The shooting at the grocery store parking lot that they all came. Like, they had a lot to...
Yeah, more than just football.
With. Yeah.
Diggs is double covered on every play in this drive. Like, I don't get it. What's he mad about?
I don't get it either. And nobody's talking about it other than to say we're good. So we'll take them at their word. We will take them at their word. And just put up the Bills schedule. Taking them at their word now. And seeing how it plays out will play out in front of the nation a lot. First game, Aaron Rodgers, first game as a Jet, Monday Night Football.
That's going to be awesome.
Okay.
By the way, at New York on September 11th.
Correct.
Ew.
Right. Now, the next three games are not nationally televised. their fifth game is. It's in London against Jacksonville, which, if I'm not mistaken, is playing in London the week before. So the Bills will have a significant disadvantage in that game because Jacksonville will already be on London time. And then they've got a Sunday nighter against the Giants and Daboll. So if this is an issue with Ken Dorsey, right, calling plays, the old play caller who they all loved and crushed it with is going to try and beat him that night with Daniel Jones. They've got a Thursday nighter against Tampa. Wow. Then they're on Sunday night again at Cincinnati. Come on. Then they've got a Monday nighter against Denver. I'm sure that game at Philadelphia is going to probably be one of those late windows on Fox that like 98% of the country is going to get.
Yep.
At Kansas City will be a late window on EBS. The whole country's going to get. Sunday against Dallas, that will probably be another. I mean, this thing's going to play out in front of the whole country.
That's a tough schedule, man. That's a crazy schedule right there.
Who's going to say it? You want me to say it? Are you going to say it?
They're not missing the playoffs.
Oh.
They're not missing the playoffs. No, this is still a really, really, let me add one more really, good team.
Really good teams miss the playoffs now.
Okay. Missing the playoffs is a tall, tall leap.
AFC is stacked. We've already established there's going to be four really good teams with really good quarterbacks and coaches that missed the playoffs.
So you're going from the beef isn't settled from January to June going into this season. They're missing the playoffs. I will take that. Will you really take that?
I'm saying if we're going to throw out teams, there's 10, right? There's 10 awesome teams with good quarterbacks and good coaches.
More likely.
Three of them have to miss it.
What's more likely?
Bonus.
Bills miss the playoffs this year or next two seasons to make it four seasons in a row. Burrow, Allen, and Mahomes have seats at the final four AFC table.
I don't think they're going to make it, those three. One of them's going to slip up. That's just so unlikely, dude. You're talking about Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson, Trevor Lawrence crashing the party.
Well, that's so one of the Trevor Lawrence
Lamar,
had his,
Lamar
Trevor,
Jackson.
Trevor Lawrence had that seat at the table last year. Tannehill 2 years ago. One of those three might have a seat at that same table.
What if two of those guys have to play each other in the divisional round?
No, that's the divisional round is the final four.
Oh, fun for the AFC. Well, they might have to play wild card round. Not everyone's going to win the division. Just saying, you want to keep an eye on a team that might miss it.
I will say it's more likely that Allen, Burrow, and Mahomes make the final four in the AFC this year and the following year to make it 4 years in a row than the Bills missing the playoffs this year. All things considered, everyone healthy.
Guys, you're missing the most important thing here.
And that is?
And that is that as long as Dak and CDM are on the same page, all is well with the NFL.
Well, because
all is well.
Hey, look, you got an easier path to the basket, pal.
Settle down just a little bit.
Seriously. You're in the right conference.
Well, we got the best team in the conference in our
You're in the right conference. You're you got You got Jalen Hurts to worry about, and you've got
I'm worried about him.
And you've got Jared Goff to worry about, Daniel Jones to worry about, Matthew Stafford coming back from injury to worry about, somebody coming from the NFC South out of college to worry about. What do you come on, man? You're in a different rent district, sir. You have to admit that. Than the AFC.
I can't worry. Like I said, as long as those two are fine.
I mean, we're talking about the highest of the high rent districts.
Yeah,
Chris and I.
You guys are in that division.
Come on, pal.
That's a crazy
Get
division
out of here.
Right there.
Specialist, let's talk to him. I'm sorry to throw this audible on you, Hoskins. Dang. I think you've got that soundbite sitting there. Let's talk to him. Let's do it. We all know.
I think Miami.
We're focused on the Bills. We've just spent literally the last 20 minutes on the Bills. And that's 20 fewer minutes than you normally spend on the Patriots. We don't want to talk about, I mean, you know.
There's nothing to talk about with the Pats.
And then you got the Jets. You got the Jets. We normally talk 4 hours about them because I'm a 53-year-old cheerleader.
That's a fact.
I'm not like Greeny, who's saying the Jets are
the biggest
threat to the Chiefs winning the division and conference again.
That's it. That's
if you want to talk about take. Jets cheerleaders in their 50s, I'm placing, okay, and showing to maybe Greeny winning and placing. All right, so back off.
You're a few playoffs.
There are a few pictures of your dog in a stroller behind Greeny.
Stop it. Listen to me. When I'm talking about Tua, I have said I like salty Tua. And the Dolphins need salty Tua. But we got confident Tua now.
I don't know about you, but that looked like money.
I saw this video, I believe on the bus to Masada.
Hey.
Yes.
On the book. That was a good album.
Is that a country album?
By the way.
What decade is that? Yeah, 70s, 80s, or 90s?
No, worse. It's a totally rejected Bob Hope, Bing Crosby movie. On the bus to Masada. Okay.
That's a team name.
I believe I saw this on that trip.
Eisen's bus to Masada?
Bus to Masada.
How do you spell that?
Tua talking to one of his teammates, it seems like. Getting ready for the season. Here we go. Here's Tua.
Out here with 2023 MVP, Tua Tagovailoa. So you've been doing judo, right? Jiu-jitsu. Big difference. So now you're basically him in the locker room, right? Like you walk up, no one's messing with you anymore.
Well, it's like that already.
And then do you feel any pressure being...
Why'd you laugh like that? For the content, good content.
My God. And then, do you feel any pressure being the only lefty in the league? I mean, you represent like 20% of the world's population.
No pressure. No pressure.
Are you the best lefty quarterback in the league?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Of course.
That's perfect, bro.
No doubt.
Well, look, apparently it's a barstool gentleman. Nikki Smokes with many S's.
Nikki Smokes.
He's like,
listen, great exclusive from Nikki Smokes. Yeah. It's like that in his locker room like now because the Dolphins in that locker room know he's like that. Yeah. Yeah. It is like that now because they know if he's healthy, which is always a big if.
Big if.
That puts the Dolphins in the mix to upset the whole damn table. We're talking about who's got that fourth seat if Allen, Mahomes, and Burrow make the final four in the AFC for a third straight year. It could be Tua.
Yeah, I think so.
And of course not messing with him in the locker room. That's what Warren Sapp said all the time. Two people you don't mess with in his locker room, the quarterback and his quarterback and his kicker.
Yeah.
Because you need those guys to just be
locked in.
Locked in like Tua is. Salty, confident Tua. You got the confident Tua saying it's like that already. And then when Nikki Smokes laughed at that, he's like, why are you laughing? What's so funny? I'm Tua freaking Tagovailoa. Words that'll never come out of his mouth. I'll say it for you, Tua. Yeah, baby. What are we going to talk about on the summer solstice? We're talking about confident Tua. That's what we're talking about.
On the bus to Masada.
Bill's not missing the playoffs, though, pal. Mm-mm.
It's just basic math.
Man. I know. I get it.
There's only seven seats.
I get it. And four of them have home games in the playoffs. I get it. Guaranteed home games for four of the seven. I get it.
And you're looking at teams who are out. Jets. You think Jets make the playoffs, right?
Mm.
So somebody's out. Whether it's Miami, Baltimore, Chargers, Bills.
Yeah.
One of them are out.
Okay. And you say it's the Bills?
Browns, they're going to be better this year.
Okay.
Somebody's out. Steelers are going to be better this year. Mm-hmm. Somebody is out.
Mm-hmm.
Broncos, somebody is out.
Suddenly you're a big Russ cooking guy.
That's right.
All of a sudden, look at you.
I'm a Sean Payton fan.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Let's take a break. I have the five most overlooked make or break players in the NFL this year. It's a top five list before James Cook of the aforementioned Buffalo Bills joins us and more of your phone calls at 844-204-RICH. Ah, yes, we're back here on the show. I had no idea there was a helmet reveal in Detroit. Did you know this?
Well, I'm the one who
the
found
Lions?
It.
So, oh, yes, okay, so you know that.
I didn't know it.
The Lions have an alternate helmet. I had no idea.
Yeah, I didn't know
Let's take a look. I had no idea. It will be my first blush reaction, and I will be brutally honest. Here we go.
That car's dope.
All right. It's starting well.
A little Mustang.
Yep. Yeah.
Powder blue.
All right. Here we go.
Where's that pewter?
I guess that's what the bag will have the helmet. Ooh. All right, nice little semi reveal there.
Yo,
I like that helmet.
Start your engines, Ford. Get it?
Yeah, I get it.
I don't dislike that.
I like the color.
Okay.
I don't love that lion. That looks like kinda... Cage drew it.
Yeah.
Cage drew it.
We need Jeff to call in.
Okay, what is it 11? What is the two?
Yeah,
what is it?
I think that's just the stripes, the color scheme of the Lions.
Okay.
But I do really like that color.
The color's dope.
Yeah.
You're right. The Lion is
a little stencily.
Okay.
Yeah. Someone was saying Napoleon Dynamite drew that lion.
It could have been wrong. Okay. Oh.
You know what I mean?
By the way, that is now
awesome.
I love the helmet.
That looks great.
I like the individual in the helmet. I love the individual in the helmet.
Oh, of course.
Now I love the helmet. Looks great.
That looks good on you. Striking fear.
Looks good on you. I was about to say, that helmet, you get a free bowl of soup with that helmet? Oh, no. Looks good on you, though.
Hey. That line's not striking fear in anybody, though.
Don't tell them you're Jewish.
All I got to tell you. It's a parking lot. All I'm going to say is, you wear those helmets, better win.
Yeah, Jeff in Detroit, you need to call in. Tell
okay,
us, Jeff,
where you at? Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, 844-204-RICH, number to dial here on the show. Peter in Ohio has been waiting forever. Let's take Peter's phone call. What's up, Peter?
What up, Rich?
What's going on?
Well, first of all, I'm feeling it this week. I'm starting a new job next week, a well-deserved job. So I'm feeling that.
Excellent.
I'm excited to have you back in the chair. Congrats on all your success and
Thank you.
Your anniversary. I wanted to get your take because I'm starting to get that football itch. I'm starting to rewatch America's Games and
All right.
30 for 30s.
Okay.
And I'm starting to get to feel it. But being a Browns fan, I've been hurt so many times. I'm really having a hard time. Like, I know they're going to be good on, again, they're good on paper, but I don't know if it's because I don't hear a lot of people talking about it. So I'm just getting a lot of local stuff from local Cleveland sports talk or what it is, but I don't know how confident I feel going into the season. I'm also, you know, torn because I didn't want Deshaun Watson initially. I still kind of don't want him on the team.
Yeah.
It's tough because I can't jump ship.
Let me help you, Peter. You gotta put all those scars away. Put them away. Put them away. You got to. They might open up. The wounds may open up again. But you got to put yourself out there because if you ever jump ship and they actually do it, boy, will you just really be upset.
Yeah.
I know.
Gotta hang in there. Got to do it.
My in-laws are Steelers fans, and so every year I just get it from them, you know, every year. And
I'm going to ask you a very personal question. Do you love your wife, Peter? Do you?
Of course.
Okay. I love my wife, too. Do you know how much crap I get from all those New Englanders? Do you know how much garbage I've taken? You know what?
Well,
it's okay, because at some point you're going to walk into that room, you're going to walk into that dinner, you're gonna, and it's all gonna turn, and it's gonna be great. Don't give up.
That playoff game, that playoff win was pretty exciting.
Don't give it up. That's it. Exactly.
Not gonna lie.
How great was that? You told your mother-in-law. How great is that? Right.
Well, they do say, like, you know, God bless you. We know you. You know, you never give up on anything because you haven't given up on the Browns yet.
That's so. It. Thank you for the call, Peter. There you go. Hang in there,
Peter.
And a perfect.
I like Peter.
Perfect transition. Top five most overlooked make or break players in the NFL this year.
Go.
So there's obvious ones, right? Rodgers and Russell Wilson and all that. They're not on this list. Jimmy G, they're not on this list because they are looked at. These are overlooked ones, people that you're not seeing. These are the trees in the forest. Okay?
Overlooked.
Number five on this list is the quarterback of the Washington Commanders.
Who is that?
Sam Howell.
Oh, is it? Oh.
Let me exactly. What if this kid? Remember, we had his college coach, Mac Brown. He's like, the reason why he's dropping in the draft is we were not very good this year.
Yeah.
And look at the weapons this guy has: Brian Robinson and Terry McLaurin and Curtis Samuel and Jahan Dotson. Nobody's talking. This kid balls out. Makes the Washington Commanders, they might even turn him back into the football team. They might even change the damn team name, which you have to do. And what, Major Tutty?
Out.
Major Tutty should be peeling potatoes.
Make Stewie McBean look cool.
Please, get out of here. Number four on this list, just to show you it's not all quarterbacks, and I don't mean to put it on this guy. And, you know, Kyle Pitts... so many people zoom in on him as he's got to finally start balling out as a tight end. I'm not even going to go there for the Atlanta Falcons because it's bigger than this kid. He was chosen at this position in a top 10 draft choice spot. And this position has been devalued over and over and over again over the last few weeks. Bijan Robinson, sir, you are balling out not just for the Falcons and yourself, but for the running back position. Let's value it, says the Atlanta Falcons. Let's value the running back spot by choosing eighth overall out of Texas, Bijan Robinson. You heard Albert Breer say part of the reason why running backs are being devalued is that the blue chip prospects coming out of high school don't play this position anymore as much because they see the devaluation of the position as they get into the professional ranks. They're playing wide receiver more often. Bijan Robinson, time for you to strike a blow. Not just for yourself and for the Falcons, but for the position at this very important juncture for the position in the NFL. That's number four on this list. Let's go back to the quarterbacks now. Oh, boy. Caleb Williams sitting out there, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's going to be looming over this season. Another thing Breer said yesterday. Breer? This was another thing he said yesterday. Nobody's talking about this guy because everybody thinks this team is going to stink on ice. Colt McCoy is a make or break player this year. Colt McCoy, pal,
Colt McCoy
it is your time.
Is back.
What if this guy turns into like Rich friggin' Gannon, right? What if this guy, and you got Marquise Brown.
All right, hold on.
You got James Conner. There are still some players. There's Zach Ertz.
Wow.
Here we go. Nobody's talking about Colt McCoy. What if he balls out? And if he doesn't, then maybe it's Caleb Williams' time in Arizona, like by like week six, week seven, and Colt's taking one for the team now. Or he could take the bull by the longhorns and show everybody what he could do. Finally. For a full season. Let's go.
Vegas isn't even offering MVP odds on Colt McCoy.
Because he's being overlooked.
Wow.
And he's not even the most overlooked make or break player in that division. Number two on this list is the difference between you guys having a fantastic secondary ticket market this year in Los Angeles or you actually bowing up and finding out whose friggin' house it really is in Los Angeles.
Rams house.
Correct. Rams house. Matthew Stafford.
Oh,
everybody thinks he's shot, right? He's shot. And the Rams are shot.
Whoa.
He's shot and the Rams are shot. What if he shows up and he's Matthew friggin' Stafford? Make or break, and the Rams make the playoffs. And the Rams aren't in a rebuilding mode.
How about me and his money?
Yeah, Sean McVay's got a bun in the oven in real life.
Does.
I saw that.
He
congratulations,
does.
Sean. Hey. And these Rams can be made or broken by that guy. Number one, though, on this list is Jordan Love.
Yeah, buddy. Yeah.
Everybody thinks the Packers are finished. Could he be just like Rodgers waiting behind Favre coming fresh out of the box and starting off fresh and kicking ass and taking names and being the happy Father's Day to the Bears fans that he said he really wasn't trying to be facetious about? Here we go. Jordan Love is the number one most overlooked make or break player in the NFL this year, because the Packers can actually do something if this kid balls out. We're looking at Rodgers. We're focused on Rodgers. Understandably so. But what about back at the ranch? Jordan Love caps off my most overlooked make or break player top five list in the NFL this year.
Well done.
Thank you so very much. And we've got James Cook of the Buffalo Bills coming up right here on the Rich Eisen Show. We are so focused on everything else going on in the Bills. Let's get an actual Buffalo Bill on this program. And then more of your phone calls at 844-204-RICH being the number to dial here on this program.
Speaking of Matthew Stafford,
hold on a minute. Hit it, Mike.
We need one more.
Thank you.
Oh, one more.
All right, we'll get one more.
And this is from my buddy Peter in Ohio. Give me the music one more time here. We got one more. Deshaun Watson.
Yeah.
Because he's got a show. Last year was just because he was rusty. All right. He's got a show.
Yeah.
That the reason why the Browns went out there and took all the heat was because of his supreme talent. And he's got a show out and ball out. Because if he doesn't, could you imagine if he has another full year like the few weeks that he had last year? Oh, man, will that just make life miserable for all of the Browns. He might even get his coach got if that happens. Fact. Ooh. So this is a huge make or break season for him and the Browns, because we are focused appropriately on Burrow and we are focused appropriately on Lamar Jackson. And you mentioned Kenny Pickett, who was originally on my list, but I replaced him with Sam Howell because nobody's talking about the Washington Commanders.
I think Browns,
but Deshaun Watson's on this list.
I think,
man,
they're going to be good.
That's what you're thinking. And if they're not, look out below, man. That they made all of those moves and get nothing in the first year plus.
Yeah, new coach for sure.
James Cook of the Bills coming up.
Conspiracy theories. Paranormal. UFOs.
Science teacher Andrew Greenwood stated that a child ran into his classroom and was hysterically screaming and talking about the flying saucer outside.
Hundreds of children ran out of their classrooms to go outside and see this unidentified flying object that was just above the school.
Just imagine a bunch of kids running out of school. Most of them probably just ran home.
Theories of the Third Kind on YouTube or wherever you listen.